Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG. Bear, the other host, is out, but you better bet we have an entire full show for you tonight, so let's just get with it. This is Experience Points, the show where we drop knowledge on you every Wednesday night, every week, all the time. Sometimes we miss shows, but we're not going to do that tonight. We got a full featured show, like I said. We open the entire thing up with Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore, so really cool stuff. We play him a lot. He needs to come out with new stuff, though, because it's been a while since he's actually released anything new. It's the old stuff's good, but the new stuff, you know, I'm sure it'll be just as good. All of our previously aired radio shows have been cut and resized, hosted on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play Music Podcast, soon to be on Spotify, on a ton of other sites throughout the interwebs, the internet. But we have our own website that you can visit. That's exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P, and you can find all that stuff there, even stream it straight from the site. If you want to connect to us from social media, we also have a social media landing page at exppoints.com/social, so go and check that out. We got Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, YouTube, Steam Community, and just a ton of other things. We also have PayPal and Patreon if you wanted to donate money to us directly via PayPal. Thank you in advance. But if you want Bear and I to do something a little crazy and, you know, just for your $5, hey, that's what Patreon's there for. exppoints.com/social. Click on the Patreon link and just look at all the stuff we'll do for $5. It's really, really good. And you get rewards. We'll get you bumper stickers or something like that. No one's ever done that, but if you want to, you can. So we're going to cut to two songs, come back after the break, and break right into the show. This is Power Used by MC Frontalot, followed by The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton. You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
Got your whole UI.
Future Soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes. It's already here.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. You just heard The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton. Before that, Power User by MC Frontalot. Let's talk about what I did last week. So I subscribed to Humble Bundle Monthly. If you haven't heard of Humble Bundle Monthly, it's this really cool service that for, I think, $12 to $15, can't remember the exact dollar amount. I'm pretty sure it's like under $15, though. You get a really expensive game, or a typically expensive game, something that came out in the last, you know, I guess year-ish, and was $60, $50, $40. It was a AAA game, let's just say that. The first month that I was part of this, I think last month or 2 months ago, rather, was South Park The Stick of Truth. Really good game. I highly recommend. Fantastic pot of humor, but, you know, really good. And then past month, it was Mad Max, the video game, the new one. So I've been playing Mad Max, the video game, and it's pretty awesome. I've sunk probably, if I had to guess, like at least over 25 hours into the game. I'm not anywhere close to being done with a story. And the nice thing is it feels Mad Max. That's one of the coolest things, is that there's enough immersion, there's enough, you know, crazy atmosphere that it makes me believe that I am Mad Max. It's supposed to be sort of out of the new universe, but I don't think Tom Hardy is this version of Mad Max. I think he's just Mad Max. You know, he's a slightly gruff, you know, scruffy Mad Max. You can actually make him more scruffy, grow his beard out and stuff like that, put goggles on him. So I'm really enjoying the game, and I think I would recommend the game. I wouldn't have paid full price for it, but I was able to get Mad Max, Crawl, Nuclear Throne, a few other things. This War of Mine, a lot of really good games through Humble Bundle Monthly so far. So definitely check it out. And the games that I don't really care for, that you know I don't want to end up using, we will end up giving them away on the show. So stay tuned for that and watch the website. I did spend a little bit of time in the theater this weekend, and I went and saw Captain America: Civil War. This movie opened, I think, Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. It was last Thursday, and you know. It was a good movie, I'll say that. And I'm not going to give away any of the plot, though the trailer sort of already does that. But I felt, we're going to dedicate an entire internet piece to this or an entire part of the next show to it once Baird's back in the studio. I felt that Captain America: Civil War, it wasn't a good start to Civil War. That Civil War is just not about Captain America. At least traditionally from the comic books. Now, the issue that I take with this is I enjoyed the comic storylines. A lot of people didn't, but I did. And the movie didn't follow the comics at all, really. It wasn't. In the comics, there were, and I guess it's been a while, it's been a few years since the story aired, that the mutants or some mutants were filming a reality TV show. Something happened. They had a fight, and they blew up an entire neighborhood, including an elementary school. And that sparked this big national sort of federal intervention to label and categorize and sort of start licensing mutants and superheroes so that you had to know your identity. They had to know the identity of all the superheroes or whatever. And you had people on one side like Reed Richards from Fantastic Four and Tony Stark from Iron Man. And Tony eventually got Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and not the kid version of Peter Parker that we have now in cinematic universe. We had the older, Peter Parker. But that was on one side. And then you had Sue Storm and The Thing and She-Hulk and Captain America, of course, and everybody else on the other side. And that was the Civil War. So it was a big multi-comic event that was so good. It was the first one in my lifetime that I was here for, and I was an adult enough that I was into the comics enough to be, and read the entire thing and spend money on. And it's just, it was nice to me. It was something that I personally really liked. Captain America: Civil War is a complete different tangent. The cinematic universe does not follow the comic universe necessarily. And while it was a good movie, I felt that while watching it, it may very well be the best superhero movie that we've had. Not necessarily best grossing. I don't know if it beat out Deadpool. I don't think it will. But I don't know that it actually, if it did or if it didn't. I watched it, and it just wasn't all that in a bag of chips to me. It was certainly good. You won't waste your money going to see it. It is a very well put together movie. Tons of action. We get to see William Hurt as the Secretary of State Ross. We don't see Samuel L. Jackson at all in this, which is interesting. We saw him in the previous Captain America movie, Winter Soldier. But it was a decent movie. It is worth watching. I just don't know that I'm going to go see it again unless someone pays for me. So that, there's that. The Overwatch beta started, I believe, on May 4th and went to the 9th. So it's over when you hear this. But I played the Overwatch beta for several hours, and I actually really like it. I thought I didn't particularly care for Team Fortress 2. And despite it being free, I own it. I bought it with the Orange Box way back in the day, and then it went free to play. And I never really got into it. I didn't play a lot of it, so I never really got talented or built up talent with that game. And I thought Overwatch was going to be very similar to Team Fortress 2, and then I thought they were taking a misstep by charging for it. I'll eat most of those words because I really thoroughly enjoyed Overwatch. It is semi-TF2 based, it's class-based, MOBA FPS sort of style. But it's very well put together. The beta didn't seem like a beta. It seemed like the full game. It sort of was. It was just not fully open to, full time yet. The characters were memorable. They were fun. They were tongue-in-cheek. There was sexy when there needed to be sexy. There was hardcore when there needed to be hardcore. And, it was a fun game with a character for everybody. It sort of continues this trend of games that are always online, a la League of Legends, Titanfall, Smite, and Team Fortress 2. It's hard to play just a normal offline game with any of those games, with the exception of Team Fortress 2. They do have sort of a LAN or a closed game sort of play. And if Overwatch does, then I didn't see that. So you know, it could be there, but I'm just not going to report on that. The other things that I did were extremely experience points related. I have been working for a while on the Experience Points Network, and Bear and I have talked about splitting the platform up and sort of developing, instead of everything under the EXP Points banner as a site, you know, we have a column or a separate section of exppoints.com for the radio show. A while back, we split it into separate sites. So now you may see TEPRS, the Experience Points Radio Show, .exppoints.com. That's exclusively the radio show content. And then we were talking about Bear With Me, Married to Geek, More to Geek, Tech Kazoo, and a few other things that were going to be separate sites. And EXP Points was going to be sort of the aggregate site. We're going to show you all the updates through that main site, and it would be a jump point to go to all of the other sites. And we haven't really made a lot of strides with that. We split out the sites, that was a thing, but everything sort of redirected to their appropriate location, really just the Experience Points radio show, because that's what we do on a weekly basis. That has the most content, and we were updating that. Over the weekend, I made the first big push towards our separate site called Tech Kazoo, and that's techkazoo.exppoints.com, with a review and separating the sites out and sort of building that out. It's still under construction, but I did make that sort of. So if you go to exppoints.com now, you will see that there is a header for the Experience Points radio show with, I think, the top three or the top five posts that we have there, so all of our recent stuff. And then underneath that, there's Tech Kazoo, which is sort of a tech news review sort of site. There will have a new review and then some migrated posts from the Experience Points radio show side of things. The latest review that we have is actually on the Anker Soundcore. I think it's the A3201 or 3102, 3021. One of those numbers. It's an Anker Soundcore review. It's a Bluetooth speaker review. I highly recommend this Bluetooth speaker. Please, you know, look at the if you're reading this or watching this online or listening to this online, look at the show notes. There will be a link to that review in the show notes. Go check it out, because I got this thing for $30. I think it's $40 now on Amazon, and it is worth every penny. It's even worth maybe $10 more worth of pennies, because it's not waterproof, nothing goofy like that. It's got good, genuine sound, 24-hour, they say, battery life, that you can, you know, listen to it for 24 hours. And it's just got a good sound. Take this thing to the beach. Take this thing, you know, to a party. Replace your car stereo with this when it breaks and you don't want to spend the money on it. It is really, really worth it. And for $30, you can't beat it. So it's really, really cool, and I definitely recommend it. We're going to cut to a song, come back, and talk about some of our main segment topics. This is Torakai by Gabrielle Robin. You're listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG. You just heard Torakai by Gabrielle Robin. We're going to talk about some of our main show points today. So, in movie news, we got our first look at the new Power Rangers suits from the 2017 Power Rangers movie. I'm assuming a reboot. I can't remember if this is going to be a reboot or a continuation of, I guess, Turbo. That was the last one. It has to be a reboot. I can't imagine it being the real thing. We had previously seen the Rita Repulsa new Green Ranger suit, and that was looking good. Like, I was liking that. It was sexy, angular, sort of demonic, very pointy. She had all this green to her, not like the Super Sentai, Dino Ranger, Zero Ranger, or whatever Japanese version of whatever. So, we got our first look at the Power Rangers suits themselves, and we see the Black Ranger, the Red Ranger, the Yellow Ranger, the Pink Ranger, and the Blue Ranger. and you know, sort of describing it, they're it looks more like armor. It looks more like Pacific Rim, sort of robotic, alien, scaly. You have some sort of rib ab sort of business going on, and you can't really see the morpher at all. I mean, it's the belt buckle, obviously. I could see that, but it doesn't look like the 90s version of the morpher. We see that it looks more organic, I guess, is the best way to kind of look at it. It looks like they're much heavier. They're not cloth, obviously. They're not light armor like in the original Power Rangers movie that came out a while back. These are obviously heavy armor. They're made to take a beating, take some punches. They don't look very nimble, which is sort of hard because the Power Rangers have always been, you know, ninja-like. They've always been very good martial artists. And I don't know that this movie will show that unless there's a heavy amount of CG. It doesn't look like these people are going to be able to move very well on these suits. Now, granted, what we were seeing looks like CG mock-ups or maybe some CG-enhanced mock-ups. But it doesn't look bad. Well, yeah, I get a weird sort of thought whenever you read from Lionsgate and Saban, they say that the suits are more alien in nature. They're going to grow on the character, and that just reminds me of Guyver. And if you've never seen the Guyver live action or either one of the Guyver anime series, look up Guyver, G-U-Y-V-E-R. David Hayter actually plays in Guyver 2, and I think Mark Hamill was in Guyver 1. That may have not been Mark Hamill. I may be misremembering that. I'm going to look that up while I'm talking. But yeah, so it was very much similar to the way that the Guyver sort of works, and that was sort of, you know. It's sort of a split between, I guess, Guyver and Iron Man, and it's weird. So it doesn't look bad, you know. I guess I want to say that it does not look bad. It was Mark Hamill that was in the Guyver. It was in Europe. It was released as Mutronics. Thanks, 1991. Weird. It doesn't look bad. It just definitely looks like they're trying to, you know, they're trying to make it a little more modern. Than it were a little more adult themed, which makes sense because the adults now were kids when this came out, and kids now, you know, they have Mystic Force, Super Mystic Force, Dino Thunder, XYZ crazy stuff with the current version of Power Rangers. So I mean, this could sort of bridge a lot of gaps right there. In video game news, yesterday, May 10th. Marked the unveiling, marked the big reveal and the release of Uncharted 4, A Thief's End from Naughty Dog, exclusive to PlayStation 4. If you have not heard about this, you know, we haven't been covering a lot because the Uncharted series has been around for a while. You can get the remastered or the remade edition on PS4. It contains 1, 2, and 3. All fantastic games. They set the bar higher every time. And this is apparently, based off the reviews I've been reading, and it's no spoiler reviews, so I don't know a lot about the story. Uncharted 4, yet again, sets the bar just so much higher for video games, for exclusives, certainly, for Naughty Dog, because, you know, they are constantly outdoing themselves with The Last of Us and Uncharted. It sets the bar so high. So I plan on probably getting the Uncharted 3-pack, the Adventure Pack, 1, 2, and 3, playing through that again. If I still want Uncharted 4, by the time I finish 1, 2, and 3 back-to-back-to-back, they hopefully would have come down with the price a little bit for Uncharted 4, but I do plan on getting. That's Uncharted 4, Thief's End, it released yesterday. It's May 10th. Doom, Bethesda, rather, releaser of Doom, says that they are not going to release any early review copies of the game to reviewers, you know, before the Friday the 13th release. In case you didn't know, May has a Friday the 13th. Maybe just stay at home. Don't take that experimental flight on the hoverboard. They aren't going to release it early. They say, you know, you're going to have to just review it when everybody else is reviewing it, whenever it releases. Some games that did this, StarCraft II, Diablo, Destiny did the same thing. The Diablo 3 servers and the Destiny servers, you could pre-order them, but you couldn't do anything because those are always on games. The servers weren't online until the same day anyway. So, you know, do I feel this is a problem? No, I obviously don't review games like this. I'm not a professional game reviewer like IGN or somebody like that, some sort of organization like that. But I could imagine that if I had a team of writers, or at least one writer, that was their whole job was to write reviews on video games, and they couldn't get it until same day, well, not only do you have to stay up all night, play the game, and then write reviews on it, and I know that sounds like I'm making a mockery of a profession, but people care, you know, people care about their jobs, and this is their job, and as good or as bad as you think that is, it's still what they have to do. They have to spend way more time and be way more diligent to beat the curve and beat the average gamer that's going to go out there. Usually, people make reviews beforehand, and that helps sell the product. Bethesda doesn't seem very interested in this time. They say, nope, Doom, we hyped it, hype train's out the station, we don't need your reviews, we're going to release it whenever it's done, and it's going to be done and pushed Friday the 13th, so, and that's 2 days from now, so you know, I might pick it up, I might download it, it just depends. I mean, Doom, I played the demo, we weren't supposed to talk about it because there was this big giant cease and desist thing on the beta, or the alpha, or whatever that I got in. But I played it a few months ago, and it didn't really impress me. Sure, it looked nice. Yeah, it was really great. But it's just going to be Doom. And I say that, Doom's storyline is not a complicated one. You're in hell, kill all the stuff that's in hell with you. Be the last living thing in hell. You know? Doom 3, you were on Mars. Then you were in hell. Kill all the stuff around you. That's always been Doom's thing. That's its MO. So, do I think this Doom's going to be pretty? Yes. Do I think it's going to be awesome for multiplayer? Probably. I mean, what isn't? It's a first-person shooter. You've got guns. Do I think it's going to revolutionize anything? No. I mean, just no. In other related video game news, Pokemon Sun and Moon released their starters. This is Rowlet. It's an owl, grass-flying type Pokemon with ability Overgrowth. Litten, or Lighten, a fire cat that's a fire-type Pokemon that has the ability Blaze. And then Popplio, a sea lion, which is a water-type, who has the ability Torrent. If I played Pokemon, then this would matter to me. But, you know, they're very cute. They're very cute little Pokemon, I guess. So, you know, there's that. If you're interested in Pokemon, the starters have been released. If you are interested in Pokemon, chances are you already knew that, though. But if somebody's out there listening and saying, hey, man, you know, I used to play Pokemon back in the red, blue, and gold days. Red, blue, and yellow days, and they got, you know, Sun and Moon now. I'm looking to get back into it. I wonder what the starters are. Well, it's going to be a grass, a fire, and a water Pokemon, pretty much like always. And you got Rowlet, Lighten, and Popplio. So go ahead and take a look at that. In DLC news, May 19th, so a little over a week away, we will get the Fallout 4 final piece of initial DLC. They have not said this is the final piece of DLC. That is just the final piece of the initial three-part DLC in this season pass. So we are getting Far Harbor on May 19th. Be prepared for it. Try to free up at least 3 gigs to download this thing on your console and on your PC, because this thing is going to be bigger than the previous two combined. And I think Automatron was 1 gig, and then Wasteland Workshop was, I think, 100 megs or something. It's going to be double that, and you know, you want to make sure that you can download it. Pre-order might be available, might not. I can't remember if it was available for Automatron before and Wasteland Workshop. It's $25 standalone. You can get it for $22.50 from Bundle Stars. Go to Is There Any Deal and look for it. Or you can get the $50 season pass, which unfortunately is no longer $24 like I got it for from DL Gamer. It's $44.50, so you save a little bit on that. If you have the season pass, then you already have it, obviously. If you don't care about Automatron, though it was a pretty good expansion, and you really don't care about Wasteland Workshop, take it or leave it, then you could buy it for $22.50 separate from all of those other things if you go to Bundle Stars. Again, go to istthereanydeal.com to check them out. In other DLC news, Witcher 3 is getting its final, and they say final as in it is the last, don't bug us, we're working on Cyberpunk 2077 now, DLC from CD Projekt Red. They're Polish developers that are awesome, and they do really, really many great things. Blood and Wine comes out at the end of May, May 31st. As far as download size, it is going to be probably larger than 10 gigs. Hopefully not bigger than 20 gigs, though it is supposed to add an extra 30 hours of content. And I've spent hundreds of hours playing The Witcher 3. If you've listened to the show in any capacity, you know that this is like my game. I love The Witcher 3. It may be one of the, it's certainly one of the best games, you know, I've ever played. It may be my favorite game ever because it's about drama, it's about fun, it's about sexy time. It's about so many things, and CD Projekt Red killed it. It was amazing. Killed it in a good way, in a positive way. For $20, that's $18 if you pre-purchase, or for $25 season pass if you already own it, you get this next piece of the game, the final piece of the game. You know, maybe for the rest of, maybe forever. Maybe we don't get another DLC after this. They certainly said don't bug us anymore about it. But you want to make sure you can download it. 10 to 20 gigs. Hopefully it's not more than 20 gigs, but it's supposed to be pretty big. It's about the size of Novigrad or Velen. It's a very large landmass. Which is pretty crazy. We're going to cut to a song, come back, and talk about our final piece, and then we'll end out the show. This is We Had a Good Run by Kirby Crackle and X-Hunter Stage by the X-Hunters. Catch you after the break. I'm MG, and you're listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG. You just heard X-Hunter Stage by X-Hunters, and before that, we had a good run by Kirby Crackle. Let's talk about our final bit of news, and then we'll end out the show, and I'll leave you with some music. If you are in the market for a graphics card, remember, graphics cards are those pieces of technology that render... they take all the game data and all the video data from your CPU, which does all the brain work, all the, you know, the physics and stuff, and it puts it on your monitor. It's what renders all of those 3D things and the 2D things and just puts all the stuff on your monitor. It's a really terrible description, but it makes the colors and the lights happen on your screen. And if you have a low-end graphics card or a not very powerful graphics card, then you have to lower your settings and diminish your overall experience when you play a video game or even when you, you know, watch a video or whatever. If in resolution-wise, you might not be able to push 1080p. You might have to do 720p or even worse, do some standard definition or sub high definition type resolution, smaller image. And if you wanted the best of the best of the best, you used to have to pay thousands of dollars. Specifically, if you wanted a GTX Titan, which a Titan is very expensive. It's $1,000 for not even the top of the line Titan. NVIDIA had the GTX Titan. They'd sell it to you for $1,000, and that would be crazy. If you wanted to do something like SLI, or maybe you want to team things up, you can get two 980s, $600 each, $1,200. Or, you know, forbid, maybe getting two Titans themselves, so $2,000 minimum. Recently, NVIDIA, and this is only NVIDIA news, you know, there's AMD, you know, cards out there, and ATI cards that you could get and you can have, and there's some other third-party things that, or first-party things that we are not going to cover because I'm an NVIDIA person. I have always bought NVIDIA. I've had bad luck with AMD and ATI cards, and NVIDIA has just really, really done well for me. I've tried, what was it, PNY, I've tried EVGA variant branded cards, and I love EVGA. They're very, very good. They don't underwrite, they don't help with the show at all, but their stuff's very quality. I've never had a problem with it, so personal experience. NVIDIA has released specs for two new cards on the Pascal line. Pascal is going to supersede Maxwell. The Maxwell architecture is what we're on now. Pascal, they're releasing the 1080 and the 1070 series of card. We had the 970 and the 980 and the 960. Now we're getting the 1080 and the 1070. And the crazy thing is that just a year and a half ago, we had the Titan. That was $1,000. The 1080 is going to be about two times, maybe a little bit more than two times as powerful as a GTX Titan. It's more powerful than two 980s. Put together. So, you know, twice as powerful as a GTX Titan, more powerful than two 980s put together. And remember, the Titan was $1,000 each, 980s are $600 each, so it's either $1,000 or $1,200. The 1080 starts at $600 or $700 for the slightly more premium edition, so only $100 jump. Nine teraflops, which teraflops is the floating point operations. Tera is a really big number. 9 teraflops, 8 gigabytes of super fast G5X RAM. That's coming out May 27th. It's this month that they're releasing this card. Crazy stuff. The 1070, slightly a little less powered. Still not bad, though. $380 or $450 for a Founders Edition. 6.5 teraflops compared to the 9 for the 1080. And then 8 gigabytes, not quite as fast. It's just G5 RAM, not G5X RAM. That's coming a little bit later, June 10th. So I say all of that, if you're in the market to upgrade your video game experience, your PC video gaming experience, if you're in the market for a new graphics card and you can fit one of these guys in your case, wait, don't buy a Titan, or if you want to spend, you know, the $300 or $450 on the 1080 or the 1070. If you don't want to buy that new card, you would rather have a 980. Look for the 980s to drop in price. They have to compete. They have, you know, they didn't sell all of the 980s already. So maybe you can get a 980 for cheap. But at this price, at $380, I have a 970, which is a separate generation, but the same size of the 1070. The 9 turns to a 10. That's how they do it. They changed it a while back. But I only paid, I think, $400 for that. And this is saying that it's going to be $380, $450 max. And it's going to be 6.5 teraflops, 8 gigabytes, G5 RAM, and it's going to be that much better. So 4K gaming is coming. You know, we've got 60 frames a second, no problem. Bethesda demoed Doom with running Pascal, with running, I think it was called Vulkan. It's the Vulkan API that they have that's so powerful that makes good use of the onboard hardware on the card. And they were getting, when they took off the frame cap at 60, they were getting 280 frames per second. You can't even see that. You know, it's such a high number for frames. But the nice thing is that there's so, you know, when you put a frame cap on, you don't have to worry about it ever dipping below 60. That's what I have now. I have a pretty decent video gaming setup with a 970. I see dips between 60, sometimes all the way down to 40 or 30 frames per second, and you can really notice that. And that affects everything from the physics that are drawn, the physics of the objects drawn on the screen, the objects themselves, the graphical fidelity and the texture of those objects. So you really want the best gaming experience. You're going to want to go with the 1080 or the 1070. And, you know, if AMD or ATI has a good card that they're waiting to release, they need to go ahead and compete with this, because it's about to gear up for summer. We're about to play a lot of games. We're about to hit E3 time. We're about to see a bunch of stuff. We need a card that people could say, oh, I'm NVIDIA, I'm doing the 1080, I'm doing this, blah, blah, blah. The Titan, I guess maybe they didn't sell a lot, or they sold, it was a trendy thing, but it wasn't so trendy that they were making a lot of money. They revitalized, they invested $1 billion in researching the 1070 and the 1080. They got it with Pascal and Vulkan. It's here. It's awesome. $600 and $700 for the 1080, $380, $450 for the 1070. So look for that in the show notes and look for that online. EVGA will have a brand, I'm sure. PNY will have a brand. Zotac will have a brand. Everybody will have a version of this card, probably multiple versions of the cards like they always do. But I'm really looking forward to that. That's looking really good, middle of the summer, maybe replacing the 970, shifting the 970 into my smaller rig, getting rid of the 760. Maybe, you know, I might do a show giveaway or something like that. I don't know how that's going to work. But getting rid of the card and just kind of upgrading, on a budget. $600 for a graphics card, not that bad. You would spend that on one graphics card that wouldn't do as much, or two graphics cards that wouldn't do as much as this one. Back in the day, and now we can buy one that is literally the top of the line graphics card for video gaming that we would want to get. They say it's a perfect 10. I'll believe it, but you know, I'm going to test it out and I'm going to get back to you. We're out of time. I'm going to leave you with one song because it's going to be a good song. But before I go, let me tell you about the website. It's at exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P. We got news, reviews, all of our audio that we've cut together. This will be on there eventually. Take a look at that and try to look at Tech Kazoo as well. You know, that's new. We're trying to push it out. We're trying to expand the platform. So go ahead and look at that as well. You can also hit us up on social media at exppoints.com/social. It's Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, all that stuff. Definitely like, subscribe, follow, do all of the things that you do on social media. I'm going to leave you with History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by the Megas, and I'll see you next Wednesday. Bear, hopefully, be in the studio. You've been listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG. Have a good night.